Matthew chapter 27. We'll do a two-part series. Tonight will be the second part, the place of the skull. And tonight will be more of a... The place of the skull tonight would be a place for your brain to go. Amen? Jesus Christ and His salvation is a no-brainer. Amen? Especially to those people who witnessed Him on the cross. We have a four-point recollection of what happened to Him at the cross. We're going to preach about those tonight, some things you don't always hear about when you hear about the cross. This morning, we're just going to talk about a place. And hopefully, this morning you've been to this place or you're going to be there today. Matthew 27 and verse 33. If you will, read with me on that verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. That's the place where they crucified Jesus. Do you know if you went to Israel today, they couldn't take you to the exact location? They'll take you to two or three different places outside the city of Jerusalem where they think that there was the place where Jesus was crucified. They think this might be it. And I was thinking as I was reading that, the reason it is they would have to take you to a place where they think they crucified Him, a place where they think they buried Him, and a place where they think that He was risen. Why? Because He is risen. Because He wasn't in a tomb and stayed there. See, the difference between our faith and the religions of the world is our God got up out of the grave. So He got up out of that. So the main point is not the cross. It's not a grave. It's the fact that He died on that cross, went to that grave, and rose again. We can't, listen, we don't point to physical places. We point to a physical, risen Savior. Man, I'm telling you right now, I'm so amazed at myself sometimes that I forget how good God is to us. I forget what He's done for us, what He's done for me. I forget that the cross, without the cross, there is no salvation. Amen? Without Him dying on that cross, we have no hope whatsoever. I mean, that is the pivotal point. That is the hinging point of humanity. Without the cross, zero stand a chance of going to heaven. None of us could be saved. None of us received grace. None of us received mercy. But He did. Thank God He did. And I thought about this Golgotha, a hard place. Has anybody in here been through a hard place? Going through a hard place? And if you didn't answer yes in either one of those, you will go through a hard place. Amen? But I want you to know this, God creates the hard places even for Himself. God created Golgotha for Himself. God created the whole earth. Amen? When He was creating the earth and speaking it into existence, He said, "Let there be a place where I will crush the only begotten there. That's where I will destroy my Son, my only begotten Son, on that mountain, on that hill, with that stone, with that tree, with that seed, with that..." Oh my God, I start thinking about it, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, God looked at a hard place down and through history and through time and said, "I will not avoid the hard place." Are you avoiding the hard places? I'm sorry you can't. But what I can tell you to do is, when you come to the hard places, go through the hard places in obedience to God. Go through the hard places in obedience to Jesus Christ. If you'll go through the hard places being obedient to Jesus Christ, people will be saved. People will be changed. People's lives will be different because you went through a hard place with God. God created your hard places, your hard times. He just wants you to pick up your hard cross and walk through those times that other people will be saved. Anybody can have faith. Anybody can follow Jesus on a good day. Can you follow Him on your hardest day? Can you sit there and literally let God come out of your mouth and out of your life and out of your actions when, listen, when you want everything in you wants to throw up your hands and say, God, how did I get here? Jesus is in a hard place. It's called the cross of Calvary. It's called a place that God designed thousands and thousands of years prior. And we'd always see it down through the annals of history. Amen? And I always point to it. I think about Abraham and Isaac when he tells him to take his son up and give him as a burnt offering. And Abraham and Isaac start walking up the hill. And he looks over at him and he says, Father, where is the sacrifice? And he looks back at him and says, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. I'll say it real slow. God will provide Himself. God reminded Himself thousands of years prior. I will provide Myself a sacrifice in a hard place for the whole world. My son will walk up that hill with wood on his back. And I will not refrain. I will destroy him. I will crush him. It would please God to crush him for our sins. Do not despise hard places in your life. Go through those hard places with Jesus Christ in obedience to Christ. Do the right thing when nobody's looking. Do the right thing when nobody's listening. Do the right thing when you can do whatever you want to do. Write that down, somebody. Do the right thing for Christ when you could do whatever you want to do. That's Christianity. That's being a believer. When you can be whoever you want to be and you're still faithful. That's Christianity. That's faith in Christ Jesus in the tough places. I love that. That's the first part of this message. A tough place. A place of the skull. A hard, hard place. A place of death. But God went to it, and He went through it. I couldn't believe the song they sung. I didn't ask them to sing any of those songs. I didn't say, hey man, would you do this? Through it all. You go through it all with Jesus. Go through it all with Him. At the end of this life, it'll be worth it. Verse 34. I'm preaching now. I'm going to meddle a little bit. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. It's like a narcotic. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This world will give you opportunity to avoid the pain of sin. So it seems. I'll say it real slow and calm. This world will try to give you an alternative way to deal with sin. Sometimes it'll say, drink it away. Sometimes it'll say, put this in your veins, put this in your nose, put this in your body, and you will forget. Take this pill, and you will forget. Take this, and you won't have to deal with your sin through the pain, through the heartache, through the trouble. You won't have to go through it. We all deal with pain in different ways. The world will come along and try to offer you a easier way out of your sin and all your pain and all your trouble. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, nope, I'm going to deal with this the right way. I'm going to take it to the cross. I'm going to take it to Calvary. I'm going to deal with it soberly. I'm going to deal with this in my right mind. I'm going to take it and place it on Calvary's cross. Listen, I hate to tell you this, it ain't no different today than it was back then. If you want to deal with your sin, you got to take it to Calvary. You can't drink it away, smoke it away, shoot it away, lie it away, manipulate it away, sleep with something, make it go away. Praise God, you have to take it to Calvary and deal with it. It's the place where you deal with sin. Sin is only dealt with in two ways. You either pay for it through the punishment on you, or you pay for it through the punishment on Christ for your sins. That's the only two ways. You either have to take it yourself, or you'll have to say, I accept what Jesus did, and I'll accept His punishment. I want my sin to be forgiven because Jesus took the punishment for it. That's how you get out of your sin debt. That's how you get out of trouble with God. You say, I accept what Jesus did. I believe in who He is. I repent of my sins and I turn from my wicked ways, and I want Him to be the Lord of my life. He could have got out of it a lot of different ways. And they crucified Him, verse 35, and parted His garments, casting His lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophets. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. One of the few things that Jesus had on the face of this earth that was worth anything was a seamless garment. He had a seamless garment. It was one whole, it was a beautiful covering. If you'll remember, Jesus had that covering where He washed the feet of the apostles and disciples. He got up, praise God, He got up and He took that robe off, and He took the robe of a servant. And He got down and He washed every person's feet of His disciples, even Judas. Even Judas. He took off that garment and laid it down and said, I'll take up the garment of a servant and I will serve everyone. I will become the lowest of the low. When Jesus was dying on the cross, the soldiers and somebody said, man, that garment's worth something. Well, I will gamble. I will toss bones with you. Let's gamble for it. I'll take it. Could you imagine Jesus is hanging on the cross and right below His feet, there is somebody playing games for His outfit. Somebody's playing games trying to get something that's really of less value than they think it is. Oh, never mind. That's a whole other message. Some of you this morning, I hate to tell you, but you're playing games at the feet of the cross. You're playing games and worrying about things that really don't matter in the whole scope of eternity. You're worried about temporal things instead of eternal things. You're wrestling and arguing and fussing and fighting about things that don't make a hill of beans, that won't matter when you die. And you'll fight tooth and nail for them. You'll wrestle for them. You'll gamble for them. You'll lie, manipulate, and steal for them. And the whole while, Jesus is just sitting right there above you, wanting to save you, wanting to change your life. I thought about this so many times. It's kind of ironic that they've got a garment. They're trying to gamble over a garment. And Jesus is trying to clothe the whole world in righteousness. Amen? They're trying to get something that's going to cover them temporarily. But guess what? God's trying to get them something that will cover them for eternity. He said, y'all are looking at the wrong covering. The covering I'm about to be able to give you will be one that will cover you for eternity. Amen? I thought that was amazing that they're sitting there and they're fighting and arguing over and wrestling and wanting to gamble over this piece of clothing. And Jesus said, if you would just look up. Some of y'all just need to look up to Jesus. I mean, you got your eyes on temporal stuff. You got your stuff. You got your eyes on things that really don't matter. They matter to us. But when you die, people will look through those things and disregard them and try to figure out what they're going to do with them. And you spent your whole life worrying. Listen, if you worry about Christ and you get that figured out, you'll have something you can pass on to the next generation that'll be worth something. And maybe they won't fight each other for it. They'll fight the whole world to give it away. At the feet of the cross, casting lots. In verse 36, and sitting down, they watched Him there. Every devil in hell. every enemy, every foe, every religious person, all sat down and watched him. Some of y'all need to write this down. Let them watch. Let them watch. Amen? Let them watch your walk. Let them watch. Listen, no words needed, no messages needed. Sometimes as Christians, I want to say it like this. Sometimes as believers, we need to shut up. I'm just going to be honest with you. I hate to say that. I hate when somebody tells me to shut up. But sometimes it's good if we just shut up and walk out our faith. It'd be good because sometimes we mess up our faith with our words. We say stuff and do stuff we shouldn't do and shouldn't say. But you know what? If we just walk it out, you know what? We'd have more opportunity to share the gospel because guess what? People love a good walk and less talk. People love to see somebody walk their faith out. More people are getting saved with Jesus is on the cross than any other time in history. And you know what? He really don't say a whole lot. He's just hanging there between two thieves, dying, and he's God. And all he asks you to do is live for him. Well, these are the people out there that hate me. Good. They hated you before too. Live for Jesus. The devil's after me. Yeah, the devil's been after you since you was born. Matter of fact, I can be honest with you this morning. I almost know the date that the devil started attacking me. You say, really? Yes. I was 8 years old. 8. You say, how do you know you was 8? Because it was the same time God started coming after me. When God started coming after me, the devil started coming after me. When he was wanting me, the devil was wanting me. And guess what? I've been saved, I've been forgiven, I've been born again, and the devil never, ever gives up. He never slows down. He never says, all right, Kevin's in faith, he's going to heaven, I'll let him go. Matter of fact, he turns the heat up twice as hot, works twice as hard to get you to fall into the same old stuff that you fell into before. Some of you need to make up your mind and say, hey, have a seat. Have a sandwich, get you a cold drink. Guess what? You can watch me live my faith out for God. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to die for Him. And everybody can watch. Whew, never. Christianity ain't something you do in the corner of your house. Christianity ain't something you do in the corner of a church house. Christianity should be lived in the public square. Our opinion should be as loud as the world's opinion. You're saying right now, but that would get us killed. It got him killed. And the problem with that is, we don't die. No, they'll never. Whew. What are you preaching, brother? Christians all the time, this world's getting darker and darker and darker and harder and harder. How hard was it when 120 people got in an upper room and the Holy Spirit came down and said, you are the New Testament church. 120, the church started with 120 people in Jerusalem. There might be 150 people sitting here on Flat Top Mountain in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee because somebody got up and said, hey, we can. That thing that's in us is greater than that thing that's in the world. Let's turn the world upside down. Well, that's what we're afraid of. Oh man, what if we turned the world upside? What if the world hated us? What if the world seen that we were getting trouble? Somebody might come up here and boycott us. Somebody might come up here and say we're haters. Oh my gosh, wouldn't it be great to be persecuted because we love God so much? Wouldn't it be good to be hated for His name's sake instead of loved because we won't make any wakes? I love that church up there, man. They're good. They have the best meals and the best programs and some of the great preaching, that great singing. But boy, they won't ever rock the boat in the public square. I'd rather have every devil in hell mad at me than to live comfortable. I see Jesus on that cross and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I don't want to go out of this world not serving God hard enough to make some people mad. I want them to all sit down there and be mad. I have to say, I don't want to be somewhere sitting in a room mad. I want somebody sitting in their room mad. Y'all get that later. I want every devil. I want enemies. I want people to sit over there and say, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe she's doing that. I can't believe she's still praying. I can't believe she's still teaching the word. I can't believe she's still showing up. I can't believe she's still singing. I can't believe she's still testifying. I can't believe he's still preaching. I can't believe he's still singing. I can't believe he's still doing it. I would rather that going on than us sitting in here having a little old meeting, and we know we're going to not go out of here and charge the gates of hell and prevail against them. Oh. It says the gates, Donnie, you're the only one listening. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel. Wait a minute, has anybody ever, I know it's not politically correct, but do you know I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard? I did. I love the General Lee. Amen? One of my favorite parts is when they would jump stuff or they'd run through a gate and blow the doors out like that right there. Amen? Blow the gate open. Listen, that's what the church is supposed to look like. We're supposed to blow the gates open, drive in, and rescue people that are behind enemy lines. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're not supposed to sit in here and have pep rallies and never play the game. Having pep rallies, we're going to really whoop them. We're going to really hurt them. We're going to really go after them and walk out of here and say, we're never really going to do any of that. Next week, come in here and say, you better bless me, brother. Better bless me with them singing. Better bless me with that message. Praise God. Let me tell you this. I promise you, if you got out there and warred against the enemy and let all hell come against you, you'd come back in here and God would have a word to blow your brains out. He'd have a message so heavy that it'll make your heart swell up. Why? Because God would want to feed you something to keep you on the battlefield. Golly, I almost amen myself. They were sitting there in verse 37, and they set up over his head this accusation written. The devil is so dumb sometimes. Have y'all ever noticed that? He puts some things out there, and he don't even realize what he does. There's some bars, there's some strip places, there's some, you go down the interstate, you'll see these things named, and they're named after biblical names. Oh, never mind. I just notice stuff like that. I guess it's the preacher in me. Look what they did to Jesus. They put him on a cross, and look what they put up on the top. And they set up over his head this accusation written. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In three different languages. In three different languages. And they even went to Pontius Pilate and said, take it down. He said, what is written is written. You know why? Because God wanted everybody to know. This is my son. This is him. You are killing the King of Kings. Because I'm letting you. I'm holding him. Your sin is holding him to that cross. I want you to know exactly who you're dealing with. And it says right there, and then there were these two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. There's two men dying on a cross. Right in the middle of it was Jesus. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened. But somewhere in the midst of that day, while a man was hanging on a cross, he looked over. He said, God's with us. Right here in the middle of this. He's right there. One thief on the other side didn't see it. If you be God, get us down from here. Some of y'all are going to say that today. If you're God, can you help me out? What you're really saying is, one, if you're saying if, you're saying, I don't believe you're God. But can you get me out of a temporary situation? Amen?
One guy sitting there looked at him and said, "When you, when, not a if, not a maybe, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" Golly, I don't know about you. I like to think of it as getting God's attention in the weirdest places. Amen? Do you see him? Rolling that head over. He's got the ear of God. This day. What day? This day. You will be with me in paradise. I ain't going to take care of the temporal situation. I'll just go ahead and fix the whole thing. I don't know about you. It's not biblical, but I kind of see it this way. I think that's probably the happiest man in the world. Hey, could you speed this up? We're going to break their legs. Break mine first. I'm ready. I came to the cross and I wasn't ready. But I found Jesus while I was on the cross. And now I'm ready to depart this world. I don't know when it, I don't know how it happened. August 28th of 04, I seen him for the very first time in my life. I seen him. I was a dying man. I was a dying man too. And I don't know how he got there. I don't know how he showed up. But he did. Chatsworth, Georgia, August 28th. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to come to faith. I didn't want to believe in Jesus. I didn't have a plan. But you know, on my worst day, on the day that I was willing to admit, I'm guilty of all of it. There he was. That same Jesus that was hanging on that cross. He was standing there in that room, August 28 of 04, saying, "Kevin, I'm here." Can I tell you something? He's here this morning. He's here this morning. He's in that hard place. He's in that worst place you've ever been in your life. He's sitting right here, right now. And He'll take all of your sins away if you ask Him to. If you say, "Remember me, Lord, in your kingdom, in your place," right now, as we stand, and Scott comes and gets a song. You ain't got to wait for one chord to be played. You ain't got to wait for one person to say anything else. If God's dealt with your heart, come. Fall on His mercy and grace. Fall on Him.